Good morning and welcome. It's wonderful to see each of you here in person and those that are joining us online. Welcome. I am Reverend Corrine Boroff, and assisting me in leading worship today is Claire Miller and Jason Sharon. Our music is by our Alpha Brass under the direction of Mark Finger, and we're grateful to have them here this morning. Our Lenten breakfasts have begun. These are events that you can attend one or you can attend them all. There are schedules out on the Welcome Center, so you're welcome to pick up one of those and join us when you can. It is a very rewarding time to be together. The all-church Lenten studies kick off completely this week. We have three additional groups that are meeting now beginning this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. There are still opportunities to get in on the beginning of a study, but you are welcome to join at any time. And just join us in as much of the study as you can. We are using The Unlikely Lent, that was written by Rachel Billups, who was with us last week. The Overnight Warming Center, this is something that is in our newsletter. It's also been on our Welcome Center, just to let you know that winter's not done yet, as we recognize this morning, right? Our parameters for opening as a warming center is that we would be there would be 24 hours of below freezing temperatures, and then we will open. We are at that point. So we are opening as a warming center tonight and then tomorrow night. After that, Tuesday, it proves to be warming up at least for half of the day. So those are the parameters set by the Emergency Management Department of Madison County. So we want to invite you, if you'd like to join, a minimum of 6 volunteers an evening. We have 2-hour shifts that we sign up for. My name is not on the list. I plan to kind of float in and out all night long just to make sure that all that we need is taken care of. We do set up our warming center here in the narthex. Everything is locked, including our exterior doors. We will have someone that will be near that door to let our guests come in and stay warm. We do not offer food. We do not have bedding. We do not have cots. We simply have a space that is above freezing, and we will allow them to come in and sleep on the floor. Basically, when I've done this before, it reminds me of sitting with youth in an overnight, simply just watching people sleep. So that's basically what you have to do. That and making some coffee. We do offer our coffee, as we do that throughout the days anyway. The final shift ends at 7 a.m. You say, well, that's not 4 hours. From 4 to 7 is not. That is only 3, but the final shift will help clean up after our guests leave at 7 a.m. That'll give us an hour to just kind of reset for the use of our building throughout the day, and then we will invite guests again on Monday night. If you are interested or feel God nudging you toward that, feel free to sign up. It's at the Welcome Center. Jesus called all of his disciples, all of his followers, to make disciples. We at Anderson First United Methodist Church make disciples for Jesus Christ by following our pathway, living our faith, nurturing families, serving our community. Let us stand and greet one another with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sexton.
As you return to your seats, let us center our hearts for worship. In our opening hymn. As we enter these 40 days of Lent, we are reminded how Jesus sustains us. Jesus went into the city to heal. Jesus went to the water's edge to teach.
Jesus went to places of peace and
But Jesus also went to the wilderness.
Hi, my name is Claire, and Allie has asked me to talk about the Family Ministries 200 Envelopes Drive. Something that I really enjoyed that the Family Ministries provided was the preparation process for my confirmation. Confirmation was a very fun and amazing journey of faith that I took last year with a few others. During your confirmation journey, you learn a lot about your profound faith and your relationship with God. But as we do that, we also do other things, like have lunch, play games, and sometimes go on small trips to important places to learn even more about Jesus and how to get closer to him. We went to places like the Catholic Church and a Jewish congregation to learn about to learn more about Christianity itself. The confirmation journey is a great way to strengthen your faith, and I am thankful to have had that opportunity and that others can have it too. Your contributions to the 200 Envelope Drive will ensure Family Ministries can continue to provide these important opportunities of faith building to students, just like me.
Thank you.
Faithful God, you journey with us through the wilderness of our lives. As we offer these gifts, we remember your sustaining presence. In this period of spiritual renewal, strengthen us to resist temptation and guide us to live in community with love and grace. May these offerings be a sign of hope and acts of compassion that reflect the love you have shown us in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us bow our heads and pray. Holy God, on this first Sunday in Lent, We remember the trials and temptations of Jesus Christ in his journey through the wilderness and how he triumphed over all. In our prayers, we think of the difficult journeys so many people face in this world, and even ourselves. We pray that in our different times of needs, we may be able to discern the way ahead. Strengthen us to overcome whatever obstacles we face. God of love, we think of the troubled parts of the world, where there is so much suffering, where darkness prevails, and where the light of the Lord seems so far away. We pray for people whose humanity is denied by others, for those without homes and food, for those suffering from illness and disease, and for those living in fear. We pray also for those working for peace and justice. We ask that they may be sustained and encouraged in their difficult work, and that they may know the light of the Lord in everything that they do in the name of peace. Creator, we thank you for our neighbors and friends and the people around us with whom we work and share our daily lives. We thank you for all the joys and blessings that others may bring to our lives. We pray for those who are isolated because of ill health and for those who find it difficult to make friends or to feel accepted. Show us what we can do to help and teach us to be good neighbors and true friends. Equipping God, as we go out into the world today, we remember that Jesus was tempted by the forces of evil, yet chose faithfulness rather than popularity, service instead of fame, and sacrifice instead of power. These same temptations still come to us, Lord, and we are far weaker. We pray for the strength to resist temptation as Jesus did, so that we may be of use to you and take part in the work you set for us. Accept our prayer, Lord, as we join together in one voice, praying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 38. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city who was a sinner, having learned he was eating at the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet weeping and began to bathe his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. Then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, 3 to 9. While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service to me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand before its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." This is the word for God's people today. Thanks be to God.
Get there eventually, right? Well, we have entered into Lent, and we kind of started talking about our Lenten series last week when we had our guest with us. Reverend Rachel Billups talked about and kind of launched us into this unlikely Lent, and we'll be looking at those titles throughout. Today, we can kind of continue talking about the gift of an extravagant offering. Want to just kind of tease your memory. Some of you may remember hearing about the Golden Fleece Award. Now, I don't know if you remember that, but it started in 1975, and I actually, when I heard it, I thought, oh, they've come up with another, like, a Golden Globe Award. You know, Golden Globes started in 1940s, and it was an award for television and movies, and we always have the best actors and actresses and so on and so forth out of that award. However, the Golden Fleece Award is very different. It was started by Senator Proxmire, and he awarded this award monthly, and it was awarded until from 1975 to 1988. So quite a while, many awards were made, and he would award it on those projects of the federal government that were wasteful, that were too extravagant. And he would give that award to kind of call to the attention of the public people and have them be accountable for what they were spending on different projects. The very first award that was given was to the National Science Foundation. And it actually shut down. It stopped a project that was taking place in the Science Foundation where $84,000 were being spent on a study of love. Yeah. And Senator Proxmire said, you know, we could spend $84 billion and not come up with anything that anyone would believe. And so he was trying to point to the most ridiculousness of that project as being something that was very, very wasteful. And he went on to say, and besides, I don't want to know how love works. Do you? Was written up in his presentation of that Golden Fleece Award that he had made, the very first one. But we kind of do know about love, right? However, we live in a world where we do hesitate. When something is called wasteful or foolish, we kind of stop in our tracks and kind of back off a little bit, right? Because heaven forbid, we don't want to be accused of being wasteful. We don't want to have things wasted around us. We have all kinds of initiatives to be very conservative with what we spend and what we do and who we are and how we behave. Those are built right into our world. That's who we are. So wouldn't it make sense that the creator of the world would definitely want us to be conservative on that and not extravagant at all? You see, extravagant is defined as being excessive, extreme, going way beyond reasonable limits. Well, let me share you a poem that I think is a very short one that I think expresses God's thoughts on extravagance. This little poem is by Ralph Sager, and it says, God created more than we can see, more seas than we can sail, more sun than we can bear, more stars than we can fathom, more breath than we can breathe, more harvest than we can sow, more grace than we can comprehend, more love than we can know. We have a God of extravagant love. It's kind of like the first printing presses. You may not have been aware of this. My mother was very much into the very first printing before there were the big printing machines that you could either print from, the big copy machines, print from your computer, or you can make copies of whatever you want to make copies of. Before that, there were printing presses very initially, and every letter of every word had to be set. It was called setting type. And you would set each of those letters in, and when you had a whole page of letters, then you could print that page into whatever the words, whatever you had spelled. And the spaces, there were even little tags that you would put in for a space. And so everything had to fit into this form on the printing press. Well, Tennyson is a poet. And there was a big demand for his poetry. And so there was this commission to the printing press to make printed copies of Tennyson's poems as a collection. Immediately they recognized that they had to order hundreds more L's and V's. You see, Tennyson's poems are so filled with the word love that an average collection of letters just wouldn't complete even a page on the printing press. That's kind of mirrors God's extravagant love. And so we have this example of extravagance. We have this picture of a woman giving something extravagantly. Want to just set the setting for you, because this is just prior to Jesus going into Jerusalem for the very last time. Palm Sunday is coming. And we have this experience of, in all four of the Gospels, they all tell of a woman pouring ointment on Jesus. But we have this example just prior to Jesus going into Jerusalem for the last time. And a storm is coming. It's brewing. You see, the leaders in Jerusalem were trying to figure out how they could arrest Jesus, how they could make this happen. But you see, the crowds were still around him, and they knew that if they didn't wait until he was alone, not surrounded by crowds, that they would have mutiny on their hands. So they were waiting. And they waited until that Garden Gethsemane prayer, that time away from the crowds for the arrest. But this picture in all four of the Gospels of a woman anointing Jesus comes just prior to all that. It is the very last act of kindness towards Jesus Christ that we have in Scripture, in any of the Gospels. Now, some say that this is the very same woman, and the Gospels just told the story a little bit differently. But what I do know, I don't know about that. I don't know how we would prove that one way or the other. But if you look at the two Gospels that we heard today from Mark and Luke, what we do hear from these, and remember, we hear this story, similar story in all four of the Gospels, which means something very important for us. When a story is repeated by all four Gospels, the importance for us is that there is something extremely important that we are to learn from this. All four Gospel writers recognized it. But we have this act of a woman anointing Jesus. And we know from our slight reading that we have done that in Mark, this took place in Bethany. In Luke, it takes place in a place called Nain, a small town in Israel. We have the hosts are different. In Mark, we have the host is a leper, Simon the leper. In Luke, we have the host as a Pharisee. His name also happened to be Simon. But in a Pharisee's home instead. We have the woman herself, who is simply referred to in Mark as a woman. In Luke, she's referred to as a sinner. And if we remember from last week, in John, she's given a name of Mary and identified as the sister of Lazarus. Then we have the action in Mark. We have both in Matthew and Mark, and also in Luke, we have the anointing. I'm sorry, in Mark, we have the anointing on the head. In the other Gospels, his feet are anointed with the oil, this perfume that just saturated everything. Do you know that they didn't have deodorant back then? They also didn't bathe a whole lot. There wasn't a whole lot of water to do that in. They lived in a desert. If you can imagine the body odor of living around people, they would simply take a dot of that perfume, that oil, the ointment that she had poured all over Jesus and splashed onto others around him. The fragrance was so strong that a dot was used to cover up unsightly smells. That's what it was used for. That was what the perfume was set aside for. It would only take a dot to cover up the fragrance of everything else. The unlikely fragrances, the stink of what was all around them. But she poured it all on Jesus. And then we have the reaction to what she did. All four Gospels have a reaction. Here we see in Mark the reaction. Matthew and Mark will just give us the grumbling of the disciples about how wasteful that is, that she could have used that so much better, selling that perfume and giving the money to the poor. In Luke, we hear from a Pharisee who kind of mutters under his breath that Jesus is wasting his time associating with such undesirable people as this woman. And he ought to deny her gift. In John, it's Judas who steps up and speaks for all. That this is wasteful. He's the one that wants to award the Golden Fleece Award. This is wasteful, Jesus. Couldn't Jesus see how much more good could have been done if she had just placed a drop on him instead of pouring it all out all over him? He just, this gift of overwhelming abundance of what she had, so extravagant. It was so unnecessary. Now, Jesus would probably agree, right? No. Again, our culture, even yet today, says extravagance is not good. It's excessive, it's wasteful, it's foolish. But not Jesus. Something done in the name or for Jesus Christ can never be too extravagant. God will never, ever be outdone by anything that we can offer. We have a very extravagant God. And we can see that by the love of God that we experience through Jesus Christ. It is powerful. It is extravagant. It makes a difference. An example of that, one example comes out of history. The Native Americans in Mississippi, a small tribe was positioned in their village right next to a raging river. The river was extremely dangerous. It was deep and it was fast. And they didn't step into the river. They kept themselves on the land, except there was a tribe, a hostile tribe, that was coming towards them, and they were much, much larger than these small tribe by the river. And they knew they were coming for them. And they knew that they would be defeated. They would be killed. You see, at that time in history, you wiped out your enemy. You didn't take them hostage. You didn't misplace them. You wiped them out. And so they were concerned. They knew what was coming. And they decided that even the strong, to try to cross the river would just mean their death. They would be swept away. At best, a handful might make it across. And they decided that it was either that and leave the children and the aged and the ill behind, because they were going to die anyway, right? And those that thought they could make it would give it a try. At least there might be a remnant that might come, be able to survive out of this tribe. But they couldn't do that. They had always taken care of one another, and they couldn't leave anybody behind. So those that could carried at least one other person on their back, a child, maybe two children, someone who was aged and beyond their full strength, someone who was sick. They carried them into the river, and what they discovered was the weight of someone else on them pushed them into the water deep enough that they could keep their footing in the raging river, and they lost not one of the tribe as they crossed the river. A gift of extravagance, a gift of themselves for others. That's what Christ calls us to. These gifts of extravagance. We share the love of Jesus Christ, and there is no limit to that. And we are to live into that limitless love of Jesus Christ. Mother Teresa has always been a favorite of mine. There's an account of hers in while she was in Calcutta, India. And she always said that she tried to create something beautiful for God. And another person went over to try to kind of apprentice with her and was extremely turned off by the fact that she was known for ministering to the leper colonies. Leprosy is a disease that eats the flesh. So if you can imagine the stench of a leopard colony alone, but also this particular leopard settlement was right next to a slaughterhouse. And if you can imagine in kind of what was then the third world country and a slaughterhouse, there was a horrible stench. And the person that was reporting this that had been with Mother Teresa said, when you came up within breathing distance of the air around the settlement and the slaughterhouse, it made you want to vomit. But he shared that he simply covered his face and walked into the settlement with her. And as he watched and participated in the ministry that she did for those leopards and with them to encourage them, to give them love and signs of Jesus Christ's love for each one of them, he didn't notice the smell anymore. He said the fragrance of her love was so extravagant that it took away, it covered up all the other stench around. That's what we can do in the world today, folks. We can share that extravagant love of Jesus Christ in a world that so needs the fragrance of love. So I leave you with this question today. What fragrance are you sharing with the world? An abundant fragrance of love or a clutched bottle with an unbroken seal? Let us sing together our closing song.
Thank you.
Let us stand together for our benediction. Enter Lent, knowing your life has been touched by the presence of Jesus Christ. Let the God of life, an extraordinary and extravagant love, sustain you. We go surrounded by the love of Christ. Amen.